Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. We welcome you into the house of the Lord this evening, and if you're a visitor, we extend a special welcome to you and pray that God would receive us graciously as we worship him together. Let's sing the praise of the Lord from Psalter number 362. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. And when we've experienced what it is to be in the depths and to cry out, and the wonder of the Lord hearing our call, we can sing this from the depths of our heart. 362.
Thank you.
Please turn your attention to the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 1. Really a glorious, glorious chapter. And we'll be having our attention on verses 3 through 9 of the chapter, but we'll read the entire chapter at this time. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the stranger scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. But the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. There we end our reading of the inspired word of the Lord. Let us sing in response. Psalter Selection 370. now confess the Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Sovereign Lord, God in heaven, we acknowledge thee as King of kings and Lord of lords, who is worthy to receive our worship today and every day. And we ask, O Lord, for lives of worship, that as the apostle can say, that we would present our bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto thee, which is our reasonable act of service, of worship. And Lord, help us also to not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, we are pilgrims. Thy people are journeying through this wilderness land to the celestial city. And we ask that thou wilt be our guide, showing us step by step what is the good way, and giving us grace every single moment to walk therein. Lord, we ask for perseverance. Grant to us to keep on keeping on in the high calling. Lord, that we with all diligence would make our calling and election sure, that we would know a fruitful life of grateful and loving service to thee and for others' benefit as well. Grant us joy, that we would have the brightness of thy face illuminating our hearts. Oh, to be in the favor of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to be accepted as his children, counted among his family. What a portion thy people have. Oh, fill our hearts with even joy through trials, joy in challenging times, and joy in prosperity as well. For the glory alone goes to thee. We ask of thee, O Lord, for close walks with thee through this week. We know not what the week will hold, but we pray that we would be familiar with thee, with thy word, and with thee in prayer. Lord, in our daily work or school, grant to us strength, that we would put all of our energies into the callings that thou hast given us to do. Lord, for the children, grant to them what they need in their classrooms, in the halls of their school building. Grant, Lord, to them also much grace in their hearts and their interactions with friend, with those that they cross paths with. that it would not be in the way of sin that they are found, but in the way of service, in the way of kindness, in the way of speaking words that build up and not tear down. Lord, please be with those who travel. Grant traveling mercies, for thou art everywhere present, keeping all of thy people. And we thank thee for the enjoyments we can have. Lord, may everything be used not for ourselves, but may it be used for ultimate good, for the advancement of thy kingdom. Remember this world, O Father in heaven. What needs abound. We thank thee for providing for the U.S. government a Speaker of the House of Representatives so that legislative business could resume, and furnish that Speaker with all that is needed, and furnish all of the representatives and all of the congressmen, the senators, all that is required. Also in our own country, we pray for the Prime Minister, we pray for cabinet ministers, for members of Parliament, also provincially. Work especially spiritual life. Turn evil plans and sinful ways out for the good of the Church of Jesus Christ. We ask as well for the international needs in Ukraine and Russia and Israel and Gaza. Lord, we see such devastation. We hear of such brokenness. And these conflicts are beyond our ability to understand, but we commend all into thy care. Lord, have mercy upon thy people. Open eyes to see the Messiah for who he is, and that it's only through faith in him that there is true peace, for he is the Prince of Peace. Lord, remember this perishing world. Turn people into the way of truth, into the way of repentance and faith. And may thou use us as well for that. Please bless different events of this week. Lord, we pray for the instructional classes that have taken place in the sermon discussion. We ask, Lord, for the Reformation Day program, that would be a blessed time on Tuesday. Bless also the prayer meeting. What a wonderful opportunity it is to call upon thy name. Lord, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. We ask also for the Office Bearer Conference, the Senior Youth Group event coming up on Saturday. May thy blessing attend these times. Bless Pastor Prose and the consistory of this congregation. Furnish them with every bit of wisdom and grace to serve the flock for the glory of the head of the church, even Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask thee to be among us now. May the word dwell richly within us, and may we know of the wonderful experience of what it is to be a blessed pilgrim, a blessed exile, a blessed Christian, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We pray in his name. Amen. At this time, your collection will be received for the general fund and the gospel trumpet. May the Lord bless you in your giving. After the taking of the collection, we'll sing Psalter number 94, verse 1, and then 3 through 5.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you and I were to follow someone who had no fixed address, someone who was homeless around, we would probably have our hearts moved in compassion and kind of pity their state and feel bad for their circumstances. How hard it would be to not have shelter, to not have loving family perhaps around, to not have the simple needs well supplied. And that would be a right response, very appropriate, to have our hearts stirred. In many ways, that's what a Christian feels like in this world. Kind of no fixed address. Kind of despised or demeaned by many. And yet this evening, what I hope to consider with you from the early verses of 1 Peter 1 is that rather than to be pitied, they are to be appreciated as blessed. That they are a people who truly have a portion far beyond what this world can offer. And that's the glory of the believer. Those of whom this world is not worthy. And yet so often it's hard, isn't it? To live as exiles, to live as those without a settled place here. And it seems like so many enjoy so much. And that's why it's good to bring to our minds again just the well supply, the abundant supply that God has made for his people. Never be jealous of those whose portion is here below. It will perish. It will seep through their fingers. It will be left here. But oh, to appreciate the godly person whose portion is eternal. I'd like to consider with you 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. I'll read really just 3 through 5 right now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So our theme with the Lord's help is blessed exiles. Blessed exiles. And the idea of exile is kind of being put out from one's home, living in a distant country, having no place really where they are to call home. Blessed exiles. 3 points, and you'll see what the old Southern Presbyterian pastor B.M. Palmer called the Trinity of Graces, faith, hope, and love. Their living hope, their enduring faith, and their ultimate love. So blessed exiles, their living hope, their enduring faith, their ultimate love. So Peter the Apostle was writing to those that were scattered, those that were dispersed, kind of the diaspora, And they knew hardship. They knew suffering. And that's really the main theme throughout this letter of Peter, is the understanding, the proper understanding of suffering, of hardship, of pain. But it's glorious how he begins by focusing just on all that these scattered Christians can claim as their own. It's like, let's shine this light upon you first, and when we deal with suffering, we'll have this on your minds, having established these great truths. He doesn't begin with their suffering and their hardships. He begins with the wealth of grace that God has supplied these scattered Christians with. So firstly, we have their living hope, or their lively hope. And in verses 3 through 3 and 4, we see this lively hope. It's like he's enveloping them. He's surrounding them with the confidence that they are well provided for. There's nothing that can happen to them for which they don't have adequate provision. Think about, again, being a person without a fixed address. How many things we could imagine that could happen to that person? There could be violence on the streets. There could be drugs being used, and they could get in bad shape. Their goods can be taken away from them. The weather can be inclement. We think they have no real security, no real close provision. But with the exile, with the Christian believer who's living through this world, there is perfect provision so that they may and must hope. Now, what is this provision that they have? That will of absolute necessity and guarantee generate hope. Well, let's look at verses 3 and 4. First of all, there's the reality of God's eternal purpose. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, the fact that God, not just in time, but the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in his eternal counsel, willed to have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. Willed to show forth that mercy in the electing of a people unto everlasting life. What an eternal security. And this also follows from verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. There is nothing in the past that would be brought up against these blessed exiles that would ultimately erase or undo this eternal purpose of God to be merciful. The security of this blessed exile is rooted before time began. It's rooted in the very heart of God. Merciful and gracious. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And then we read of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So not just from the far past of eternity, but also in the progress of redemption, the progress of the plan and promise to save. as it especially centers on resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. It's the capstone. Again, what blessed enclosure this gives for the child of God, for the exile, that no power of Satan who would try to pluck the saved sheep out of the shepherd's hand. No earthly power, no demonic power, no power of sin would succeed. There is the accomplishment of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Redemption is secure. Blessed exile, you have a new lease on life because the head, Christ Jesus, triumphed over death. And then going into the future, there is the living hope to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Something held out that is an absolute guarantee that their excellent inheritance will never hazard being lost. But not just that, that they themselves are guaranteed that they will possess it. It is incorruptible. It can't decay. Undefiled, it can't be tainted. It fadeth not away. It can't be shortened in its enjoyment. So you see, congregation, the wonder of this living hope from eternity past through the redemption, the redemptive purpose of God centering on Jesus Christ to the ultimate future. But also the wonderful purpose to bring this life into the dead heart. The fourth thing about this living hope is that the blessed exile has been begotten again. That life has entered into their experience. That life has been brought to transform their being. This is the glory of the blessed exile. And again, no power will have any success ultimately to diminish this hope, to take this hope away. It is the portion of the blessed exile. And the application of this first point about the living hope is so comforting that it provides for every aspect of our life. It provides for the time aspect. From the far past in eternity to the eternal future, hope can resound throughout our days, throughout our moments. Yes, I know there are many struggles. There are many things that distract us from laying hold on this in a real way day by day. But this is really that which the blessed exile has been entrusted with in their birthright through the regenerating work of the Spirit. When you struggle to sense this and to lay hold of this, what should you do? Well, first of all, you must acknowledge your need. Confess your hopelessness. Confess your struggle to maintain perspective. What is behind that? Is it Satan tempting you? Is it a pattern of sin? Is it worldliness that has distracted you? Bring your need before the Lord. Lord, restore to me hope. Direct my eyes and my heart again to that which cannot fail. And the second thing is you need to look unto Christ. He's at the center of all the hope of the believer. He is our hope. From eternity past, how can God be merciful? How can his plan to not visit our transgressions and damn us forever be secured but through the Son's willingness to come? And his redemptive purpose in time, what did it all lead to but the seed of the woman coming to crush the head of the seed of the serpent? And that inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, who is reserving that in store but him who said, I go and prepare a place for you? This incorruptible inheritance will be my handiwork performed for my people. And I will prepare my people for the enjoyment of that. Who has sent his Spirit to beget a people unto a lively hope, but the ascended Christ. Oh, when you are struggling for hope, when you need hope, may Christ be your hope giver. Don't just hope for the best. Don't just have a general optimism, but have a Christ-centered gaze. And the last thing, the last application for when we're struggling to grasp this hope is remember the plural. Our Lord Jesus Christ begotten us again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ as the victorious Savior of the people of God. This is something to be kindled and to be strengthened among the church of Jesus Christ with fellow believers. What a hopeful place the church is. What a glorious way to encourage each other. This is the living hope. And if you don't have this well-established living hope in Jesus Christ, in the fellowship of other believers, what are you hoping for to replace it? There's nothing. There is nothing here below that really is worthy of being called hopeful. Because it all passes away. It all disappoints. It all is at risk of being lost. Don't hope in that which is of man. Secondly, we have their enduring faith. Their enduring faith, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. If hope can surround us and protect us in such a way as to guarantee that for which the exiles will be led to pursue. Faith is that which can endure through the most difficult hardship, through the most challenging environment. Perhaps it's the loss of a loved one that shook you to your core, and you face it every single day. You miss the person who has passed away. Perhaps it's a sickness that came and wrecked your body and left you, as it were, an entirely different person. Perhaps it's something in your mind that hangs over you. Perhaps it's something coming to you from the outside. We are born to trouble as sparks fly upward. Our time in this world is not an easy passage, not a smooth trail, but it's rough, it's rocky, it's full of predators, as it were, and it's done in the weakness of our constitution. A few weeks ago, my children participated in cross country. And they were commenting, the cross-country race was held at a ski resort not far from our home, and they were commenting on how the course was so challenging. That it wasn't just kind of uneven, but it was very steep in parts, and it was very difficult turns in parts, and they were saying they felt they could have done much better, but the course was so limiting. And I said, well, you didn't give up. You still finished. How could you do that? Even if it's not your best time, or even if it was with added hardship. And they said, Daddy, you had to try harder. You just had to struggle through it. And I thought, wow, how wonderful to hear of the perseverance, to hear of the pushing in a physical race. But what is it as spiritual exiles, facing the ups, facing the turns, facing the rocky? It needs to be faith. That is the strength of the people of God. It can't be our own strength, for we would instantly give up. We would instantly lose heart. And the very glorious thing about faith is that with God's blessing, it can even thrive in hard times. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. What a countercultural viewpoint. Ye greatly rejoice, even if for a season, for a time, it is required that you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That is an amazing statement. How can a person rejoice in hardship? James says, count it all joy, my brethren. Count it all joy when you face trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces a whole line of blessed graces. So that which we could well imagine normally could discourage, normally could dishearten, normally could make us slouch and pity our condition. For the person who sees God's hand in them, for the person who is learning submission to God's sovereign ways, we can greatly rejoice. And it can be a wonder to people. How can that one have that mind and that joy and that experience through the loss of such a dear one? Again, there are challenges. There are struggles. This isn't something that is always, but it is a wonderful, wonderful reality at the majority, at the most of times, in our sufferings, in our trials. Joy in trials can be the fruit of faith. Then we see also what it says about our faith. These rocky paths, these twists and turns. Why? So that we fall flat and we have to be disqualified? So that other people who are enjoying the prosperity and the ease of quote unquote having a strong faith can blaze right by us and leave us in the dust? No. But the trial of your faith might be found unto the praise and honor and glory, the purification, the strengthening of faith. What a blessed work these ups and downs and these bumps and these deep experiences that we are led through. Ask Job. How could he refuse to curse God? But understanding something of the way of God to refine his people and to bring forth his people as gold. But even Job could say, yea, though I perish, yet will I trust in him. That's how worthy God is. And so these blessed exiles have a strength. They have a resource, as it were, made theirs. It's called faith in Jesus Christ. And 2 points of application here I would set before you. The first is how this faith is not natural. It's not something we have worked up in ourselves. Like my kids can try to draw that extra bit of strength and try harder. That's not faith. Faith is an acknowledgement, I have no strength. But Christ has all power. And I, with my emptiness and weakness, rely entirely upon him. He had joy through suffering beyond what we can imagine. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And he is the only one, if we rely upon him, who can bring joy into the deepest pains that we endure. And he will carry his people through. It's a supernatural gift. And so when you feel weak in faith, where do you go? You go to God in prayer, Lord, increase my faith. Give me joy in trials. But then a second application is that the value of faith is more, it's of more worth than anything. The value of faith, it's so precious, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. And what is the value of faith? But that it has Christ as its possession. That's why it's so precious. Christ has been appropriated. He's been laid hold of and will never be let go. Do you believe, as in exile, other people can be energized by whatever drives them day by day, a passing pleasure, a certain level at their job? But what drives you? Christ Jesus, in whom you believe. Your blessed exile, if you can say, it's his strength in which I carry on in this pilgrimage, in this exile. But lastly, we have the ultimate love, your ultimate love, hope, faith, and love, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. One of the things about the person without a fixed address, the person on the streets or in the park, is that your heart breaks because maybe they miss the bond of love. It's such a rugged individualism. It's such a struggle just to make it from day to day. It's such a harsh existence so often. But not for the blessed exile. They have a portion that seems so strange to the world in which we live. They have a grasp of love. They have the wonder of love driving them forward. They have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts through the Holy Spirit. They have the demonstration of the love of God in the sending of his Son. And they have love toward God worked in their hearts, whom, having not seen, we don't need to see the Savior to love him. We love him because he first loved us. It's the love of Christ for his people first and foremost that will draw out of his people their love for him in return. Whom having not seen, ye love. What a glorious possession blessed exiles have. To be able to say, by God's grace, I love the Lord Jesus. I love him for who he is as the Son of God, as the incarnate Savior, as the glorified King. I love him in all his attributes. That he is all powerful, that he is wise in his dealings with me, that he is gracious. I love him in his ongoing work of intercession. That he prays for me. He prays for the church. He bears up the church upon his heart. Whom having not seen, ye love. You haven't seen him yet. But dear believer, one day, that love that you have for him will be realized as you love him in his presence. And that will make the whole exile experience a distant, a forgotten time, as it were. And you will be captivated by the one that you loved without seeing. Oh, what will it be to see him and to love him as he is? In whom, though ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is certainty in this love, and there is the assurance of this love. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Truly, exiles, Christian exiles, are blessed above all others to have the living hope, to have their enduring faith, to have their ultimate love. For you, a blessed exile, how do you appreciate and maximize your blessings? But by again starting where it began, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, it all serves the glory of God. And may that be your experience. May that be your life, now and always. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, who can understand the wonderful portion thou hast given thy people? And we know the reality of sin and struggle. We know that so often we live below these privileges, and we confess that, not complacently, but with pain in our hearts. But Lord, this night, may our cup be full. May our portion be a double portion because of the fullness that thou dost give us. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with hope, who perhaps have reasons to lose heart in themselves or in their surroundings or experiences. Encourage them with the greater purpose that thou hast carried out to show mercy, to redeem, to bring into the inheritance incorruptible, and to beget again into a lively hope. Bring brightness back into their experience. Lord, for those going through trials on the mountains and the twists and turns and the upheaval of life, give that faith in Jesus Christ, to push through them all, relying upon his strength alone. Lord, help us to love thee in purity, to love thee fervently from our hearts. Please forgive our sins in listening and in preaching. And may this be a food, may this be spiritual food for us in the week that we've started. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please turn in your Psalter books to number 204. 204, we'll sing all the verses. And then for our doxology, we'll sing 413. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.